podcast. 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 Cast. Cast. Podcast.
CurseCleveland.com podcast. And now, without further ado, today's host, Sportsboy Tony.
All right, welcome once again after a huge hiatus from the podcasting world and the blogging world. We've got a big show, a big Buckeye preview show lined up for you tonight as I've got some major guests for the first time in quite some time. Obviously, we have Neil Sika. You've heard him before during all the Cavs games, and Neil's going to be doing the Ohio News Network High School Football Game of the Week, and he's also a member of the Big Ten Network now, and you're going to be able to see him across various cable outlets that picked up the Big Ten Network in recent weeks all over the contiguous 48 states. Is that right, Neil?
That is correct, Anthony. I'd like that that applause effect that you had there for this introduction, because it's such a well-done introduction.
Can't get that for you, unfortunately, but also join us, and this is huge. This is a truly treat and a pleasure. We've got an actual guy who's been at Buckeye practices, even the ones that he's not allowed to go to. He's there, Jeff Swoboda from the Buckeye Sports Bulletin. Or is it from the Ozone? Or is it from Bucknuts? I get them all mixed up, Swoboda.
It's definitely not from Bucknuts or the Ozone. You were right the first time.
But... Yeah, don't say Ozone. Steve Snapp will get mad.
Is Steve Snapp even alive at this point?
Yes, actually.
That's a serious question, by the way. I don't know.
I knew it was, and yes, he is.
All right. Well, this truly is a pleasure to have you guys both on the Skype tonight, and we've got to get right to it. Ohio State with a game just a few days away as they open up the season. What is it, a noon game against Navy, against one of the Armed Services Academy? And I think the general theme so far from Buckeye Land is that, guys, it's time for contrived, all sorts of contrived craziness when Navy, are we playing Navy? Is that right? When they take the field, go crazy. Is that the sense?
Way to game prep, Tony.
Yeah, is that who we're playing? Is it Air Force?
Yes.
Is it
the
yes,
Naval Academy?
The Citadel?
It is the week of contrived patriotism.
That's right. And it's on full display. In fact, when they sell French fries at the Horseshoe, are they going to be calling them Freedom Fries? That's what I want to know. But that's why we have Swoboda in. And I think it's been a very quiet, actually, a very quiet lead up to this game. While other teams have had a number of injuries around college football and some academic problems with USC and obviously what's going on with Rich Rod up in Michigan, it's been very quiet, wouldn't you say, Jeff, as someone who's been covering the Buckeyes for the last few years?
Yeah, I'd say so. Everything's just been kind of trucking along other than Willie Mobley leaving, the defensive lineman who's transferring to UCLA. That's just been kind of a quiet, smooth practice session. It's been good vibes. They've been letting us come in and watch practice every once in a while, which is the first time that's happened in a while, since I think, speaking of the Ozone, John Prentice would put all the plays on his website back in the day. So it's the era of good feelings, I guess.
Yeah, but don't you think maybe that's just because by now they realize with bowl performances, everybody already knows our plays, so there's nothing really to keep hidden from them at this point? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
No, go ahead.
See, the average fan can sit there and guess what's going to happen 80% of the time, so at this point we're not giving anything away.
So, Neil, I know you've got to be very excited. It's another opportunity, by the way, in the spirit of full disclosure, Neil does have a relative that will suit up. Will he suit up this week? Do we know that for sure?
He'll be suiting up.
All right,
up,
very
yes.
good. So you get a season ticket and everything? Are you going to be there?
those go to the parents, Sika, but I still will be there. We do have a happy allocation of seats to see the midshipmen.
All right, so what right now, what is your thoughts, your outlook on, you know, how things are going to go down this Saturday when they take on one of these Armed Service Academies, to be named later?
Well, to be quite honest, I think it will go one of two ways. I think they'll win convincingly, or I think they'll be in it, and it'll take a wounded duck from Pryor to convert on a 3rd and 6 to Dane Sanzenbacher to seal up a victory in the fourth quarter. I don't know. It's an unpredictable team right now, and there's a lot of questions. There were articles written today about the fact that for a team ranked so high at 6th in the country, there are still a lot of question marks. You know, number one, has Pryor learned to throw the ball any better? Number two, how will the offensive line be? And my biggest key, and I think this has been the key since they won the national title, I think it's been a very underwhelming performance, maybe the last 4 or 5 years, by the defensive line. Have they figured out those issues and found the way to increase the pressure that the front seven brings?
But Jeff, I think that's one of the areas where a lot of Buckeye fans are very confident. They know they're very inexperienced at linebacker, and they know they do have a few problems here and there in personnel in the depth chart, but defensive line doesn't seem to be one of them. People are very excited about everything they have, the core that they have, not to mention Lawrence Wilson getting back into the fray.
Yeah, I'm not at all worried about the defense, and specifically the defensive line. They've looked pretty good throughout the scrimmages and practices that we've seen all the way on. When you think about it, I mean, they've got Lawrence Wilson and Todd Denlinger and Nathan Williams, three guys who've made impacts the past couple of years, and those are second-string guys. So I'm not too worried about the defensive line. Thaddeus Gibson really grew as last year went along. Dexter Larimore has kind of become that 300-pound guy you want to have in the middle. Doug Worthington came in as a five-star guy. Finally, last year kind of seemed to solidify himself as a playmaker. So I'm pretty happy with the way that's developing for Ohio State, or as somebody would say to an Ohio State fan, I guess I'm happy. But the two that Neil kind of brought up before that, the quarterback situation and the offensive line, those are bigger question marks to me, especially the offensive line. They say that they're kind of getting there, but that's one that I kind of would have to see to believe just based on the last couple of years. And why am I stuttering like Will Leach? I apologize for that.
Wow.
We miss AJ Zara too.
Hey, you mentioned the offensive line. Neil, I want to talk to you about this. You're an expert on the offensive line. You've got your tipster embedded in the organization, in the program. Mike Adams has been the source of a lot of whatever controversy there has been. He's kind of been the source of it in this lead up to this game, as you know, all sorts of rumors about a 2-game suspension. We do know for sure he will not play against Navy, but isn't it a little disconcerting that a guy like this, who was supposed to make an impact and he was that 5-star recruit everybody's been talking about forever, and now he's not even going to be playing in this game, and people are wondering about where exactly he is on the depth chart?
Well, when I saw him at the scrimmage 3 weeks ago, he was, as Jeff saw him too, he was certainly on the third team. I think it really boils down to, at least it's to a point where I don't even think he sees eye to eye with some of the coaches right now. And I wouldn't be surprised down the road if we see him jettison the program.
Wow, you heard it here first. Now, again, Neil does have his insiders, so maybe I think Neil is just, it's wishful thinking, because then a certain sibling of Neil actually.
No guarantees. I'm just fluttering like a little bird. So you know, if you did hear it, you heard it here first.
But if not, you have plausible deniability, so you don't have to worry. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the Adams thing is an interesting situation, just because, I mean, he really kind of struggled in the spring. We got to watch all the practices then. And there were some times where he was really kind of still getting used to the fact that, I mean, he's 6'7", 6'8". He still was kind of getting beat low by some guys. And then he would kind of fire out, you know, quickly to try and get the guys who were coming on the edge rush, and they dip inside of him. So he kind of had a lot of work to do, but you could see why people thought so highly of him. But as he came in this spring or this fall, it just kind of looked like it just, you know, he was kind of back where he was at the start of the spring again, and then there's the whole doghouse disciplinary thing that's come up, and I would stick with the people who have said that this is a 2-game suspension. I think that no matter what Jim said yesterday, I think that is in fact the case. But we'll see what will happen after those 2 games.
Let me make a point clear. I'm not implying that he was going to transfer anytime soon.
Oh, he's backtracking, folks.
No. Don't be surprised if it's not. It might come at the end of the season. I wasn't giving a time frame. It could happen at the end of this year. So
this was an offensive line that obviously much maligned last year, and it was put on display in the USC game and even the week before against, guys, Ohio University. So we knew there were problems last year. Terrell Pryor made a lot of that. He kind of mitigated a lot of that because he was so successful being able to scramble. He still did take a few too many sacks, but guys, shouldn't there have been improvement with this huge recruiting class that came in a year ago and these guys have had time? I mean, where is the development there in the coaching? Is this same old on the offensive line? Whoever wants to take that, Ken.
Jeff, I think that's a question best left for you.
Okay, I'll go ahead. I would say that just from watching them so far in camp and watching them in the spring, really, the run blocking has been really a strong point from them. And as you look at it, you know, they've got Michael Brewster in the middle, who they're pretty confident in at this point. Brian Browning moves inside of the right guard spot, and I think a lot of people think he was better suited for that spot rather than the tackle position he played a year ago. Justin Boren comes in from Michigan with just tons of accolades as far as his ability to block for the run. So I think they've got a pretty good interior that they like, and they've been able to run the ball in both the spring and fall jersey scrimmages and in practices. So I think that'll be a pretty solid thing that they can hang their hat on, and they've said that too, and I don't have any reason to disagree with that. The pass blocking could be an issue. Just as you look at it, you've got two new tackles. Jim Cordell says he's got the right tackle position down, but that still seems to be a question mark. And
so
that's one of the – I don't understand that at all. I mean, he was a perfectly fine center to me, but they like him at right tackle, so we'll put him out there and see what happens. But I still think that's a good thing they're going to have Terrell Pryor back there, because there's going to be a couple lookout blocks, I think, especially early in the season.
A couple?
Yeah, that's
– A couple. I mean,
he makes a good –
I'm just saying they faced a dominant defensive line throughout spring and now – in the last 4 weeks. I mean, Ohio State's defensive line is going to be one of the tops in the nation. How are they, you know, how are they succeeding or not succeeding against this defensive line? Because to me, that's an accurate barometer of what is going to happen when they play against USC and they play against Penn State and down the road and whoever they play in a bowl game.
Yeah, and it was definitely hit or miss, especially if you go back to this fall jersey scrimmage. I mean, Pryor was sacked about six times or so. I don't exactly remember the number, but and some of them were just touch sacks where, I mean, he was wearing a black jersey and he would have easily run away from them in normal situations. But there were definitely some protection issues as they went back and tried to throw the ball and set up in the pocket. And that's something that's why they ran so many pass plays in that scrimmage, was that they were pretty confident in their ability to run it, but they wanted those guys to get the live reps against the defensive line. And the defensive line won a lot of those battles, so it's definitely a question mark.
So it seems a lot of people are kind of questioning, too, this running game. We have so many running backs back there to kind of platoon. What right now is the depth chart at running back, and how do you think, Jeff, that the Buckeyes will get these guys involved?
I think it starts with Dan Heron. He's looked better than he did at the end of last year, and he was pretty darn good at the end of last year. He had touchdowns, and I think five touchdowns in the last four games last year, including two against Michigan. So, and he hit the workout room, the weight room, pumped a lot of iron, not really, you know, able to be brought down by arm tackles anymore, or at least it seemed like that in some of the scrimmages. So I think they're pretty happy with Dan Heron. They all say Brandon Sain is back, and Brandon Sain says Brandon Sain is back, but he hasn't really popped during the fall, so that's one of those that he's going to kind of have to prove it in my mind. And then Jordan Hall has come in and looked just absolutely fantastic. The kid from Gannett, Pennsylvania, who went to high school with Terrell Pryor, has looked awesome. Just fast, runs with a low pad level, just does not go down without a gang tackle, really. So he's looked really good. Jamal Berry was a bit dinged up with an ankle injury that he brought in, so he was only doing like one a day in the 2 days. So it's kind of hard to get a read on him, but I think that's kind of the top four right there. And then I think Heron's going to get, you know, maybe 15 to 20 carries a game, and they'll just kind of have to go from there.
Jeez, Tony, you better lock him up. I mean, I don't know if we've got a better analyst in the country on Bucknuts or anywhere else. This second coming of Svoboda's second guesses could be a big thing.
I am not second guessing this appearance at all so far. He's blowing away the competition. This is, this is why we had him on.
Absolutely. Absolutely indeed. You know, Jeff and I, Jeff was obviously covering the scrimmage a few weeks ago more fervently, and I was there for at least the last hour. And I think we can both take from the consensus, and Jeff knows this too, that the defense looks a little light years beyond what the offense is doing right now. And running to throw the question out there, continuing to discuss, you know, how the defense has been kind of ahead of the game right now on the offense, from your perspective, Jeff, and the talk around town, do you feel that there is stuff that the offense is not showing right now, especially when it comes to the passing game?
That's an interesting question. As you can tell by my stuttering over the answer.
How you moderate.
Yeah. Daniel Sika has stumped. He has stumped the Svoboda. But when you look at it, I think that people kind of got blown out of shape by the jersey scrimmage that kind of some media members came out and said it looks like a similar offense to last year. And to a certain extent, it did. And part of it is I don't think they're going to really change that much. I think they'll run a little less I formation. they'll go out there with a shotgun a little bit more, maybe some more three wide sets with an H-back, things like that. But they're still going to run the eye. They're still going to run a lot of the things that they've run in the past. So as far as that goes, the offense is going to be kind of similar. And they have added some new things, but they weren't necessarily on display in that jersey scrimmage. We've seen in practice, we've seen some screen passes, we've seen some shovel passes. We've seen that old play that Troy Smith used to run where he'd fake the option and then drop back to pass and look down the field. So there's a lot of things that maybe haven't been shown at all times, but when you put the whole picture together, you can kind of see they are doing some different things. But it's still, by and large, I mean, they're going to try to do a lot of different things. They're going to, you know, run the eye. They're going to run those three wide shotgun sets. Just try to figure out, you know, what they do best out of those and try to kind of keep it varied so the defenses are off balance.
You know, it's interesting. The wide receiver core for this team has been a – I don't know, a source of discussion over the last few years. We had guys go to the NFL like Hartline and like Robo, but at the same time, people kind of questioned their ability to get open in big games against, you know, superior competition. Now looking at the wide receiving court, seems like a lot of people are optimistic with Torian Washington, Sansenbacher, obviously Chris Carter's kid. We don't know how much we're going to see from him right off the bat. And then Ray Small. How do you break down, guys, right now the wide receiver position? I'll start with Neil. What do you think we're going to see from these guys? And do you think they're going to take a step back? Or do you think these guys who look to be a little more physical, maybe a little more jaw-dropping, you know, how they look in a jersey and how they perform on a field with their athleticism?
I think that's really the number one question to be asked. I mean, this just goes back to the unknowns. Are they going to be more possession type receivers? Will we finally see another a game breaking type receiver? And I don't think that there's really been a great game breaking receiver at Ohio State maybe since San Antonio Holmes. That's being my Bob Davey. San Antonio Holmes. Because even Rubisky, for what many thought would be big play abilities, he's going to be a possession receiver in the NFL. So I don't know. And that, a lot of that's going to hinder maybe early too and reflect on Terrell Pryor and his ability to get them the ball. But I think at least the fail safe in all of this to know is, regardless of what goes on the field, your best player and your most athletic guy is going to have the ball in his hands every down on offense.
So moving on from that, the guy that's going to be delivering the football, Terrell Pryor. I think a lot of people were overly optimistic about Pryor because of the way he finished the season and the way he came in, very confident. You heard good things out of camp, and then boom, a week ago in the dispatch, not so pleasant of a write-up when it came to Terrell Pryor and his throwing motion and those types of things that people kind of assumed the development would be there. Swoboda, what are you seeing from Pryor, and is he going to be inconsistent throwing the ball? Are we going to see a lot of improvement in that facet of his game?
Can it be both?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say he's going to be 10 times better than he was throwing the ball last year, and that's exactly what Tressel said. I stole was the way his description there, 10 times better. He said that a couple weeks ago. I think that's exactly right out of Pryor. He's going to be light years beyond where he was last year throwing it. And at the same time, he's still going to have a long way to go, just because when he was in high school, I mean, basically it was just run around, wait for somebody to get open and throw it deep, or, you know, things like that. It wasn't like
that was last year.
Well, they had to make him – he really didn't come in and do much last year in camp. Remember, I mean, Todd Beckman was the starter throughout fall camp last year, so Pryor never really got that deep education as far as kind of running the offense, and then he was thrown into the fire four games into the season. So, I mean, he's well ahead of where he was last year, but he's still kind of missing some throws. He's still skipping some deep balls are still floating. He's still missing a read here and there, stuff that by this time next year, he should have down and it should be amazing at. But at this point, it's just some fine tuning that has to happen. So he's going to be well ahead of where he was last year, but there's still work to be done. Unfortunately, that work's got to be done by game two, just because of the quality of defense that USC is going to be bring in, which is why I'm not necessarily optimistic about that game, despite everything that's happened over in Southern California. But Pryor is a work in progress. He's kind of, if he's the Price is Right guy on the mountain, he's about halfway there, and he's still got to get up to the top there and you know, have the yodeling and all that in the background.
Look, if he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL, which many presume that he will be, it's still going to be a learning process until he puts on his jersey on the day of the draft. No one's going to ask him to become a Sam Bradford-type passer in college. But if he can marginally improve to where even Vince Young was never a prolific passer, and he still was able to manage to at least fool some people into looking like he could throw the ball once in a while, although we know he can't do that quite as well on the professional level. If he can at least make that next step, it's all about who they surround him with, because if the guys project that they're hoping to project, then they could have one hell of a team.
So last year, after the Penn State game, if you rewind and remember the obvious problems the offense had in that game, granted with a true freshman starting a quarterback going up against a brutal defense, the consensus was in Buckeye Nation, guys. You got to remember, they wanted Bowman out. They wanted all sorts of changes with the offensive coaching. They wanted Tressel to pretty much relinquish all those responsibilities, bring in, you know, this premier offensive coordinator that, you know, nobody really had any answers as to who that would be, but that's what people wanted. Well, the Buckeyes do things a little bit differently than other teams. You saw Auburn kind of go through some changes and, you know, quite frankly say, you know, look, we're just going to change things up and we're going to fire the offensive coordinator that we just brought in. Buckeyes do a little differently. They decide, you know what, if things weren't working, we've got to make changes. Let's change their assigned seating when it comes to where they're going to watch the game from, because that's what's happened with Jim Haycock. That's what's happened with Doc Tressel. Maybe these moves aren't exactly sending shockwaves, Jeff, but what is the theory behind some of that, and has Tressel addressed that?
They kind of talked about it a little bit over the past couple of days, and the general consensus is that there's no story here. They could, you know, that could either mean they're lying or there's no story there. So, and I mean, who's ever going to know the real answer in this case? I don't know exactly what it comes down to. They've kind of said that, you know, just the defensive coaches wanted to shake it up a little bit, and both guys wanted to try something different as far as Luke Fickell, the linebackers coach, coming down to the sideline, and then Jim Haycock going upstairs, and they just kind of say, I just wanted to change it up, no big deal, get a different view. Both guys were a little tired of being where they were. Maybe there's something more to it.
I think fans are tired of where they are career-wise. I think they want changes, but I, you know, that all can't be put on those guys. But obviously, people still concerned about the problems up front and the inability to execute. You know, year after year, and Neil, we've seen this in the past. Teams like USC, no matter who they lose, they seem to hit their stride in game one. The Buckeyes always seem to take a little bit longer, and that's been a constant criticism. And quite frankly, I do think it's valid.
Yeah, at least for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
You know, going in when they last won a marquee game at Texas in 2006? Yeah, 2006 now. My gosh, how time flies. But again, that's why it goes back to me, goes back to the talk. And Jeff made some very valid points about the defensive line and how they look good. And I totally agree. But when push comes to shove, I want to see them do it when they have a team that – everyone's circled on their calendar at home in the second week of the season. I want to see them ready. A lot of people talk about how Pete Carroll, and we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about this game already, but, I mean, my goodness, that's really why we're on here tonight, isn't it, Tony?
Even the Navy kids are talking about that game.
Even the Navy kids, yes. they're going to do it in their 1 hour off on the weekend from the football game. Next weekend.
What do they have? Rich Rodriguez's schedule? Are they that busy?
I guess. Yes. Did anyone check about all those boom iron hours that he's been lifting? Make sure that he's been within the restrictions of mandatory workouts. anyways, getting back to the topic at hand, or what I was trying to say is, it's been quite a role reversal over the last few years, and now Pete Carroll's the guy that will take the moniker of. He doesn't lose those type of games, and Jim Tressel certainly had that moniker early in his name. Of course, Carroll got some help in that Notre Dame game back in 2005. Yes. However, all I want to know is, will they be up for playing a caliber of a USC team where I saw a lot of their freshmen come in at the U.S. Army All-American game. Chris Galippo was NFL ready then. If he's healthy, he's certainly NFL ready now, and that's just one guy. They are loaded, and they don't have to be upperclassmen. So you're going to have a hard time convincing me, and I think Jeff's a wise man as well, or anybody else who's got a savvy of football knowledge that this is the year that they're vulnerable to beat, despite having a freshman quarterback, because I think the game could be on par, and I think they could turn a lot of heads if people are going in there thinking that it's just going to be a chance where they can have the redemption just because they're at home.
That point spread is starting to drop. If you pay attention to those things, started out, I believe it, that was USC favored by 6 or 6.5, and I think it's come down to 3, and who knows? Who knows? It could get interesting. Of course, still obviously a lot of time, and we'll see what happens with Navy, because if they come out, if Ohio State plays like they did against Ohio University, which I know so many people are petrified that that could occur, then you know it's not going to be a very positive outlook for the Buckeyes, right, Swoboda? I mean, they got to come out against Navy. They have to dominate, and I think a lot of people do expect that's what will happen. Of course, who knows if the dogs will be called off at some point, because, of course, it is a service academy.
Yeah, I can't imagine Jim Tressel putting up 50 on Navy.
On anybody.
Well, that too. Well, he did it one time in his career, I think. Northwestern, they kill Northwestern every
year. Are we pulling out the fake punts against Northwestern again? Is that what they're going to be doing?
I swear, at some point, I don't know what happened, but I think it was when Northwestern beat Ohio State in 2004. Jim Tressel got back to the locker room and said, never again, and has just relished destroying Northwestern ever since then.
And he started with the old head coach.
Faking a punt up points last year.
Yeah.
You guys missed a great joke I just threw in there. I mean,
well, say that again. What did you say?
Tressel's vengeance made it out all the way to the ex head coach, who's no longer there, before Pat's show. Yeah. Anyway, Jeff.
Oh God,
I've made that joke
how
in private
awful
before.
Are you?
But anyway,
Jeff. Well, I think we should get to the meat and bones, Jeff.
What was the topic in hand
from Navy?
What are they going to do to Navy? I mean, what
we're talking about.
Go ahead, Neil. It's your show.
Give us a little bit of insight. Sorry, Tony, but I think the fans would like to know a little bit about the triple option that Navy presents. This is a team that was in the Poinsettia Bowl each of the last 2 years. They lose to
They were in the Eagle Bank Bowl last year, actually, in D.C.
Eagle Bank Bowl. 2 years ago, they were in the points. 2 years straight, they were in the Poinsettia Bowl.
Yes.
Lost to Utah, right? And then the year before, whipped up on some other school. I can't even think off the top of my head. Reggie Campbell, good running back. What does this team present? You wrote the scouting report. Give it to us.
I did. I'll start with something we were mentioning before the Randy Walker death jokes, was that as far as, you know, is this team going to kind of have the attitude that it needs to come out and play well early and beat Navy and things like that? You kind of hope that the youth is served in that regard and that they come out fired up, ready to go, come out strong against Navy, and then they kind of don't have that kind of malaise that went over the team last year once that USC thing once that game got out of hand. You kind of see that team just kind of went, well, here we go again. So hopefully this young energy will be able to kind of feed off to that. The thing that you have to worry about is just the fact that they might be so young that they make mistakes against Navy. And if you make mistakes against Navy, you're going to be in trouble, and we'll segue that into talk about the triple option. They've been running it against the scout team. Rocco Pentello had a rather famous touchdown in the Jersey scrimmage earlier here, but with Navy, it's just, you know, you've seen it on
Scotty
TV.
Scotty pancaking Larimore on that one. I'm going to have to throw that out.
Oh.
Yeah, well, so it's kind of hard to tell with Navy just because of the fact, I mean, it's all deception, it's the option, it's things you've seen before, you've played it on your video game, you've scored 100 points against your buddy with it, but you're going to see it live and in person, and it's going to be kind of tough to go up against, and they've got to play disciplined football, not necessarily assignment football, but they have to do what the coaches want them to do to make that game plan work.
Nobody breaks it down like the second guesser, Jeff Swoboda. So now that we know what Navy's going to do, although I don't think we needed Swoboda to tell us what they were going to do, it would be funny, though, by the way, if they would just come out, throw the ball on every down, just to mess with Ohio State. Wouldn't that be the spirit of American strategy in the armed services, to come out and shock your opponents? I think that's
right.
Well, they might as well then play their scout team then, because they'd probably perform it better than their than their starting brethren.
Yeah, I think the consensus.
How about the email going around with people actually having to remind people to not boo Navy when they come on the field because they're a service academy? Why don't we just lie down and let them score a touchdown on the first drive too? Not even take the field.
I don't like this at all, by the way. I just don't think it's what Midwest football is all about. I don't think it's what Ohio State and its obnoxious fan base is all about, that we have to actually be told to cheer another team when they come out on the field. I think it's disgusting, guys. I don't think a school like Ohio State should have to dip to these new lows.
Well, if you're a Navy fan, it's like a pity clap. It's like, oh, thanks for coming and playing. You're the Navy. How cute. You've got a football team now. Uniforms and everything.
Not to mention, guys.
Well, how about... it's Bush League when they have to tell the stadium to do the OHIO cheer before the opening kickoff, which is a crappy cheer anyway. I hate it.
There's a lot of things that I don't like about this.
What? They got
game
the new
management here.
They have the new video scoreboard, though. This is big. People aren't talking about this enough.
Oh, it's out there, man.
So the big deal.
The font of the numerals, the numerics, look like a lottery drawing. I don't like the scoreboard.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's going to take some getting used to, but I just worry that they're going to use those new boards more for advertising purposes and for the stupid graphics you see at the shot as opposed to actually enhancing the game day experience.
Oh, they'll be advertising in 2 weeks when we play USC. They'll be advertising a loss to the USC Trojans. All right, everybody will know about it. Here's my thing. At halftime, by the way, a very, very important thing. Is it at halftime or is it before the game? The dotting of the I?
At halftime.
Is it Mike DeWine? Bob Taft? Oh, no, Jim Trafficking. That's right.
Eric Fingerhut, I believe.
Yeah, Eric Fingerhut.
Howard Metzenbaum.
So no, it is John Glenn. They're doing this one again, Neil?
Thomas Worthington is dotting the I.
Are they doing they're doing this at halftime? Is that what you said?
It is at halftime.
So
it's part of the alumni band quadruple script.
Do we have to be told to cheer that as well? I never liked the quadruple script, by the way. I never liked that either. And I think they need
put your hands together for John Glenn.
They need one.
That's my Bob Kennedy.
One singular script.
But Bob Kennedy's not the band announcer. It's either Dave Kaler or Dave Carwile.
Oh, that's true.
We know
but
these things.
But I can impersonate Bob Kennedy so much better.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Bob Kennedy, he's the bigger guy. Right?
First down, Navy.
I hope it's not saying that a whole bunch. So this is a huge game because of all the theatrics. All the fans are being told when to cheer, when to sit down, when to stand up. It would be downright humiliating if they were to even approach losing this football game, right? That's not going to happen, right? Please reaffirm this for me.
I don't think they'll lose, but I wouldn't be surprised if Navy throws a few jabs in there for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Navy doesn't really get embarrassed by anybody, and that offense is fluky enough that gimmicky enough that I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit. But they're just not big enough to stay in there against Ohio State. I mean, Terrell Pryor is bigger than every linebacker they have.
Yeah, their downfall is going to be their defense, which, from my affiliate reports, tells me is not very good.
Now, they got lit up a bunch last year throughout the season. That's pretty much what I'm expecting and praying our offense is able to do against this team. The question is there going to be any kind of a letdown the week before USC when you know they've had to have started to install things that they're going to need to do against USC, right? They've had to have started that game planning process, right?
I mean, maybe not necessarily formally in practice because, I mean, they've been doing Navy scout team for a while now. And the parts of practice we got to see on Tuesday was Navy scout team.
So a year in advance.
This offense is so weird. I mean, you've really got to practice it.
So a year in advance, we'll put in plays to beat Michigan, but we don't get up for the big games against USC. I really am bothered by the fact, and I'm sorry. I think it's great that we beat Michigan routinely now, and I guess the whole thing about beggars can't be choosers.
Michigan is our bitch again.
And you know what?
It was a shirt that I saw.
That's fine. That's fine, Neil. How many did you buy? How many did you get for your family?
I didn't buy any.
My problem is that against Michigan last year, there was a definitive difference in how those players were reacting on the field. That was their Super Bowl. Well, how about we make USC our Super Bowl? Can we not have two Super Bowls in a year? Can we not get up for two different games? It's just something
well,
that's
what if? Let me ask you this. What if they beat USC and then they lose to Penn State, which very well could happen. They could lose three games
this year.
That's fine.
You know what? Better for the conference. The conference, if you want the Big Ten to get the pub that it thinks it deserves,
I agree.
Then you know what? Penn State beating an Ohio State that beat a USC, it enhances the entire profile of the conference. So let it be written.
We're getting
so
let it be done. Well, let's do some predictions, T. Come on, buddy.
All right, everybody's excited for predictions. Well, no, let's
do
start out.
Do you have the song on infinite loop, by the way?
I'm excited for this song. It's a brilliant idea.
I'll start out with Jeff.
Whoever came up with this idea should be roundly commended.
Give me your prediction for Navy and then fourth season. Let's start it up right now. Jeff.
Jeff, are you going to drop in your buddy Doug LeSamer? What's his last name?
Lay Maurice.
And he's got Ole Miss in the title game.
Who doesn't,
well,
by the way?
Doug's unconventional.
I haven't seen a trendy pick like this in quite some time. Ole Miss. Enough.
Ole Miss is going to... Mark my words, you can file it online. Ole Miss will lose four games this year.
So Mike Adams is transferring, and Ole Miss will lose four games, according to Neil Sika.
Yeah, those are facts. Well, one is a fact.
Just because your brother wants more playing time doesn't mean you have to wish somebody to transfer.
Oh, no. Hey, they're two separate positions, buddy.
Not to the lay football fan.
All right, my Navy prediction, there will be three touchdowns for OSU, yet they'll stall twice inside the 20. They had red zone problems, but they still need to work out. 27-10. It'll be 13-10 at the half, Buckeyes.
Are you giving me half predictions?
I am. And Ohio State's record. Oh, boy. 10-2.
With losses to whom?
USC. And I don't even have great preparation by me. I don't have a schedule in front of me. Who's on the road besides Penn State?
It's a real poo-poo platter. Michigan and the Indiana-based teams who stink.
Do they play Iowa at home?
Yes.
Circle it, because that's an upset.
Without their running back, though. No running back anymore. Although I think they were going to try to throw the ball a little more. Jeff, what's your prediction for the Navy game, and then get on to the rest of the regular season?
All right, I'll lay it all out for you. I'm going 34-14 Ohio State against Navy, but Navy will move the ball pretty well at times, followed by a heart-crushing loss to USC. I just think USC is better along each of the two lines, and they've got some better playmakers. So Ohio State will start 1-1 and then start 2-2 with a loss to Illinois thrown in Ohio Stadium as well. And then they rip off 8 straight to finish 10-2 and match the records of both Notre Dame and Illinois.
You know, I wasn't listening to anything you guys said, so I still don't know about the schedule. But I will say this. I do think they cruise in this Navy game. They win by triples, whatever. They'll win this game pretty decidedly. People will be upset with Jim Tressel and the crew for running up the scoreboard on a service academy. But in the end, it's okay because we cheered them when they came out on the field in a disgusting display of civility. Then they followed up, and they do, just like they did against Colt McCoy when he was a freshman, I think he was a redshirt freshman. They beat him. I think we're going to beat the true freshman in Barkley, and we're going to defeat USC, and we might do it by a couple of scores, but I do think this is the first Tressel game. Was that necessary? I do think that this is the first Tressel team in a few years to lose just a game they had no business losing. I don't know who it is. You might make the argument that happened a few years ago with Illinois, but Illinois was a BCS team. I think they lose to a non-BCS team. They lose a game they weren't supposed to, and then they probably lose at Penn State, unfortunately. They have this stigma about going out there and playing that game, and unless Todd Beckman's in charge on the road, I think they're going to lose to Penn State. They lose a couple games, and I think they're out of the BCS for this year.
Pasadena, baby.
No, I think they're out of the BCS. They haven't another game there? So that's it. That's how
yes,
I look at it.
Outback Bowl.
Outback Bowl, which, by the way, the Big 12 no longer a part of, huh? After, 2011?
Big 12 was never a part of it. It was the SEC.
The Alamo Bowl? Didn't we just play a Big 12 team?
No, I said the Outback Bowl, not the Alamo
Whatever.
Bowl.
Either way, that's it for this week. Once again, we had Jeff Svoboda from the Buckeye Sports Bulletin.
Good to be
Buckeye
back, America. Shout out to
Steve Meyer. Wait, he's throwing out his shout out. What do you got?
Sorry.
I got to throw the website in there, BuckeyeSports.com.
As if anybody's going to be listening to the end of this third segment to get that.
Well, then cut and paste it early.
Are you still writing about Tyson Gentry? Aren't you a one-trick pony by now, Svoboda?
I've talked to Tyson Gentry once in my life. Nice kid, though.
And what, you wrote a whole – what are you, writing the book? Do you have the book deal for this? What publishing house has signed you? Do you have Random House? Are they on –
Yes, I have Random House.
All right, Neil.
You're making me give away the secrets. Come on, Tony.
Neil.
You've got to put me on for another podcast then when it comes out.
All right, we can do that. Maybe you can write the obituary for Steve Snapp. All right, Neil Sika from the Big Ten Network and the Ohio.
It had to end on that, didn't it?
And the Ohio.
If you want to know where I'll be out and about calling games, you can follow me on Twitter.
Sure, everybody's thrilled. Where is it?
Yeah. Shout out to Shanice Myers.
Wait, you know what? I forgot to include a song to end on, so keep it going. Neil, other big games around the country we have, obviously the Virginia Tech-Alabama game. Can we get
BYU-Oklahoma.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Do you have thoughts on any of those? Who's winning all these big games?
Oh, I'm going to say it's going to be Brookhaven 30, Hilliard-Davidson 21. That's the high school football game, big game of the week on ONN this Friday. Oklahoma will win easily. BYU never seems to muster up any gusto in their big games recently.
I love you.
Yeah.
And Jeff, anything?
No, it's just happy to get football started again.
This is what you get to go out to, Jeff.
I like it. This is my favorite song too. So. If you want predictions from other games, I gotta be honest. I don't know which other games are being played this weekend.
Virginia Tech, Alabama.
Yeah, well, Virginia Tech stink. Alabama, I mean, they just had a player shot, and they're gonna win that game by 30. Now that's a pro.
Will Butch Davis take North Carolina to the top of the ACC next?
Can we get a moratorium on alliteration and nicknames with Beamer Ball? I mean, what, we took the guy's last name and combined it with the apparatus that they used to play with?
Aaron Staller likes to call him Ass Face.
I'm sure there have been
other nicknames. If you don't get that reference, then watch a game sometime.
I think everybody gets the reference.
I think Neil's drunk.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a pleasure, and this is it. This kicks off a huge season. I don't know if you know this. Both of you have signed on for the full year verbally by doing this. So we're going to have you back each and every week. Sorry.
Hey, I'll look next week for my food stamps in the mail.
All right, guys. That'll do it. Once again, check out their materials on various websites and various networks across the land. And until next time, you've been listening to a CurseCleveland.com podcast.
Good night and all right. Good night.